Here's what I want to do tonight. I want to start in verse 16 and remind us of what we've been ordained and chosen for. And then I want to go back to verse 7 and tell you how we can carry out what God has called us to do. There's three things in verse 7 that Jesus mentions that will allow us to do what he reminds us that we're ordained and called for in verse 16. So if you still have your Bibles open, again, look at verse 16 where he says, "You've not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Now, again, I think that has a double meaning. I think it has a meaning, first of all, that God chooses every person to get saved. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This idea that God has already chosen some people to go to hell and some people to go to heaven is hogwash. It's not biblical. God's not willing that anybody goes to heaven. If God could choose for us, if God decided to choose for us, he'd decide that everybody goes to heaven. People go to hell not because God chooses them to go to hell, but because they choose to go to hell by rejecting Jesus Christ. So he's chosen us to get saved. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, I want you to know that the God in heaven wants you to be saved. He's done everything that's needed to be done for you to come and be part of his family. I mean, the only thing you have to do is come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's no price to pay. There's nothing to do except to come. Now, when we come, he expects us to live like one of his children. He expects us to get out of the world, turn away from sin, and be one of his kids and act like it. But he wants you to come just like we sang often, just like you are, with no plea but the blood of Jesus Christ. So he's chosen us to get saved. After we get saved, he's chosen us to work for him. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. "For by grace are ye saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." And so when we get saved, he chooses us to work. And he says, "You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you." That word ordained means to set aside. To prepare and set aside for a service. And he says, "I've chosen you, I've prepared you, I've set you aside to do something for me, that ye should go and bring forth fruit." That you should go and tell other people about Jesus Christ. You should tell them that they're sinners. You should tell them that there's a penalty for that sin. You should tell them that Jesus Christ paid the penalty. I've talked to people and said, "Well, I can't do that, preacher. I don't know how to do it." And I always ask them, "How did you get saved? Can you tell me how you got saved?" If a person can't tell you how they got saved, you better question if they're saved or not. If you can't tell me how you got saved, I want to tell you how you can get saved so you can be saved and know how you got saved. You got saved by admitting that you were a sinner and coming to Jesus Christ and asking him to save you. There's no other way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. And so he called us, he ordained us, and he says, "I've chosen you and I've set you aside. I've prepared you so that you can go and bring forth fruit." That you can go and tell people about Jesus Christ. That you can bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that your fruit should remain. We get them saved. And as Brother Dan has talked to me about a lot, and that's one of the reasons we started his class, we just don't get them saved. We get them trained. We get them discipled. We tell them what it's all about to be a Christian. We tell them what it's all about to live a Christian life so that they can remain. And what that means, what that phrase means, that when they remain as fruit, that they start doing the same things that you're doing. That they come to church, they learn how to pray, they learn how to tell other people about Jesus Christ. That's God's plan. God's plan is for one person to tell another, who tells another, who tells another, who tells another. You see, Harry and I don't know the same people. Marlene and I don't know the same people. I can reach some people that they can't. They can reach other people that I can't. That's God's plan. It's been God's plan from the very beginning that we, as his children, tell other people about our Savior so that they could come and know him as their Savior so that they can go out and tell people they know about the same Savior. So he's chosen us. He's ordained us. to go and bring forth fruit, and that our fruit should remain. By the way, there's a promise that's attached with it. I'm not going to say much about it, just to mention it, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it you. A wonderful promise about prayer. I'll talk about prayer in just a little bit as we move back up to verse 7. So, that's what we've been called to. That's what we've been ordained for. That's what our job is for God, to go and bring forth fruit, that our fruit should remain. So how do we do that? How do we do that? How do we do the job that God's called us to? How do we do the job that God has ordained us to do? How do we bear fruit? How do we bear fruit that remains? I believe that Christ gives us the answer in verse 7. There's three things that are mentioned in verse 7, and I believe if we do these three things that we can succeed. And again, we talked about a little bit about success this morning in our Sunday school lesson. God doesn't measure success the same way that the world measures success. God measures success. Are we making progress in achieving the objectives that he set out for us to do? Are we accomplishing the things that God wants us to do? In the context of tonight, he wants us to bear fruit. We become a success when we do that, when we bear fruit and our fruit remains. So how do we do that? Again, I believe in verse 7 that Christ gives us the keys, three things that we need to do in order to be a success in bearing fruit and that our fruit shall remain. And so, a preacher's delight, a three-point sermon, 3 points in verse 7. Here's the first one. If ye abide in me. If, and this is Jesus talking, this is our Savior talking, if ye abide, if ye live in me, if you take up residence in me, if you dwell in me. He talked about it in the first six verses of chapter 15. He said in verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. You see, if we are abiding in Christ, he is abiding in us. And I've been trying to think all week about how I can illustrate this in a way that maybe you've never heard before, just to tell you what it is to abide in Christ, to live in Christ. And so I came up with two illustrations that I want to use tonight that I think paint a picture of what it means to abide in Christ. I was driving home from my mom's on Tuesday night, and I was listening to, I always like to listen to XM Radio, the old time station, where they play the old time radio shows. And I heard a show where Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy were on it. How many of you know Edgar Bergen, who I'm talking about? Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. Edgar Bergen was a ventriloquist. I'm not saying that word right. Charlie McCarthy was his dummy. He was a little man made of wood. I saw him on TV one time, usually dressed up in a tuxedo, and he was a card. I mean, he was irreverent. He was irrespectful. I mean, of course, the guy that was putting words in his mouth was Edgar Bergen, and most of his disrespect was directed toward Edgar. But just think about that little dummy, Charlie McCarthy. I mean, he was made out of wood. He could not talk on his own. He could not move on his own. He could not think on his own. Everything he did, everything he said, was because Edgar Bergen pulled a string and moved his mouth and through his voice and spoke through him. Tonight, I submit to you that abiding in Christ is like being a dummy. Living in Christ is like being a dummy, where we say, I have no will of my own. I have no words on my own to say. I have no action on my own to take. I want Jesus Christ to put the words in my mouth. I want Jesus Christ to pull the strings on my hands and on my feet and on my lips and on my ears. I want him to control everything in my life. I believe abiding in Christ can be pictured as being a dummy. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What the Apostle Paul is saying is, just give God your body. Just give God your body. Let him abide in you and you abide in him. Let him put the words in your mouth. Let him put the thoughts in your mind. Let him pull your strings as to what you do. Never go anywhere unless he sends you. Never say anything unless he tells you to say it. Never think anything. Let him just be in complete charge. Now, we all want to do that, but the hard thing is getting ourselves out of the way. It's getting our old man, our old will out of the way. We know as Christians that we'd be a lot better off if we just submit to God. We know as Christians we'd be a lot better off if we could be like that dummy and just let Jesus take complete charge of our bodies. But our self gets in the way. That's why Paul wrote, and again, I didn't look up the scripture, but he wrote in another place, he says, I have to die daily. I die daily to self. I die daily to my own desires, the things that I want to do. I have to die daily so that Christ can come in and abide in me and I in him, and he can use me the way that he wants me to be used. Now, the second illustration that goes along with this that I think pictures what it means to abide in Christ is a little unborn baby in the womb. A little unborn baby that gets everything that he or she needs through their umbilical cord from their mother. Every bit of the daily requirements of life. Let me just put it real simply because I don't understand a lot of stuff that goes on with babies in the womb and all that. I mean, and I'll just stop there. I don't understand a lot. But everything that life needs to be sustained, to grow, to become what God wants that little one to be, comes through that umbilical cord from his or her mother. In the same way, if I am abiding in Christ and Christ is abiding in me, I get everything that I need from him. I don't need anything from the world. I don't need anything from this environment in which I'm forced to live. Everything that I need to grow, everything that I need to survive, everything that I need to become what God wants me to be comes from him. And so, if I'm living in Christ, everything that I need comes from him. If I'm living in him, he pulls my strings. And by the way, you say, preacher, I just don't like the way that sounds. I don't want a God that pulls my strings. Well, listen, you got a choice. You can pull them yourself. You can decide. But I want to tell you tonight, if you let God pull your strings, your life will be a whole lot better than you pulling them yourself. Because he knows a whole lot better what he made you to be. He knows a whole lot better what he wants you to do. And he knows a whole lot better how to accomplish that. And we'd be a whole lot better off if we would just get ourselves out of the way. If we would say like Paul, I die daily to self. God, just move in, make yourself at home. I'm getting out of the way. You can use this body any way that you want to use it. For your honor and your glory. And so, my sermon title tonight is The Life That Counts. How do we accomplish what God has called us to do? How do we accomplish what God has ordained us to do? That we bear fruit and that fruit that we remain. Number one, we live a Christ-centered life. As it says in verse 7, if ye abide in me, we abide in him. Notice number two, and my words abide in you. It's not only a Christ-centered life, it's a Bible-centered life. If ye abide in me, the living word, and my words, the written word, abide in you, then we can be what God wants us to be. We can bear fruit, and our fruit will remain. We can't abide in Christ without abiding in his word. We talked about one of the verses that I used tonight in our Sunday school lesson this morning. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And in Sunday school this morning, some of you weren't here, some of you were in other classes. In Sunday school this morning, we talked about what God was telling Joshua is that you need to read my word. And you need to read it over and over. We talked about how in Joshua's day, in Moses' day, that they would take the word of God that they had, the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, the law written by Moses, and they would read it over and over in a hushed voice, in a muffled voice. They would read it over and over and over again so that they could understand it. That's where the word meditation comes from. They would just read it over and over. And the author in their Sunday school lessons likened it to making tea, where you try to get all the tea out of the bag. We try to get every bit of truth out of the Word of God. We squeeze it for all it's worth so that it comes into our life and changes us like the tea bag changes water. The Word of God changes our life. And if we're gonna do what God wants us to do, what He called us to do, what He ordained us to do, we need to be a people that the Word of God does not depart out of our mouth. It's always on our lips. Day and night, the Bible says, we meditate day and night from the time we get up until the time we go to bed. It's on our heart. It's on our lips. We're repeating it over and over, trying to understand it, trying to get all the truth that we can out of it. Again, not so that we can just know it, but that we can do it, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. I mentioned in Sunday school this morning, I'm sorry I'm repeating myself, but I think it's a good truth. It's a sin to study the Word of God and not let it affect your life. It's a sin to study the Bible and not let it permeate your life and change the way you think and change the way that you act. We'd be a lot better off if you're not going to let it affect your life. Don't study the Bible, because the more you study, the more you're going to be held accountable for keeping what the Bible says. To him which much is given, much shall be expected. And if you study the Word of God and ignore the teaching, never let it affect your life, God's going to hold you accountable. What did you do with my Word? First Psalm. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, but setteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. God says you ought to get your pleasure. You ought to get your pleasure. You know, some people get pleasure watching TV. I've never understood that. There's nothing pleasurable on TV. And I know you may have your favorite shows, and that's fine. You can disagree with me. I don't find anything pleasurable on TV, but I sure find a lot of pleasure in that book, in the Word of God. God says you ought to find your pleasure. You ought to meditate. Again, keep it on your tongue day and night. And then he makes a promise in verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Again, I have other verses written down, but for sake of time, I won't read them tonight. If we're going to do what God has called us to do, what God has ordained us to do, we need to abide in Christ. We need to let his words abide in us. We need to have a Christ-centered life. We need to have a Bible-centered life. And then number 3, verse 7 again, we need to have a prayer-centered life. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. You abide in me. You let my word abide in you. And God says, I'll give you a blank check. Anything you ask, I'll do it. You say, preacher, how can God do that? Doesn't he know that our old human flesh may come back into it and we'll ask for things that are not good, things that are not good for us? God knows if you're living in him and his words are living in you, that you only ask according to his will. His will. See, if you're living in Christ, if He's pulling your strings, so to speak, and I don't mean to be disrespectful when I say that. Please understand. I'm just saying that's a choice we make. Say, I'm yours. I want to live in you. I want you to take complete charge of this body. I'm going to die daily. I'm going to stay in this book. And God knows that if we'll do those things, He has the freedom to say, okay, whatever you ask for, whatever you ask for, I'll do. I'll do. Because He knows if we're abiding in Him and His words are abiding in us, we'll only ask for things that will be pleasing to Him, that will be according to His will. One of my favorite verses is Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. I was talking to Ruth this afternoon, and she was telling me how rough the last couple weeks have been as she's cared for Wolfgang. And she says, Pastor, I got to the point about a week ago where I told God, I said, I just can't take it. I just can't do it anymore. I don't have the strength. I just don't have the will to do it anymore. But then she says, and she told me this. She says, God, I'd like to tell you how I'd like you to handle it. I'd like to tell you what to do. But then she said, Pastor, I decided that God knows a whole lot better than I do. And I wasn't going to try to tell God what to do. I was just going to ask God to help me do what He wanted me to do. And she said, when I did that, I got a peace. It seems like I just got a renewed strength. And I was able to care for my husband the way I believe that God wanted me to care for him. When we get to the point in our life where we fully understand and accept the fact that God loves us, that God has a plan for our life, and that God knows how best to accomplish that plan. And we say to Him, not my will, but thy will, O Lord, be done. We'll be able to accomplish. We'll be a success for what He's called us to do, what He's ordained us to do, to go and tell other people about Jesus Christ, and that our fruit would remain. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the word. Thank You for the truth that's in it. Thank You that You never ask us or command us to do anything without telling us how to do it. And I think tonight You've told us how to bear fruit that remains. And I pray that we would be a Christ-centered, a Bible-centered, a prayer-centered people. And that, Father, You would use us to go and tell people about Jesus Christ. They would come to know our Savior as we do. And that they would remain. I pray tonight, if there's just one person here that's never made that decision to receive Jesus, Father and Holy Spirit, would You help them tonight see that their sin separates them from You? Their sin's going to take them to hell and separate them from You forever. The only hope they have is to come to the one who died on Calvary's cross for their sin, to come to Jesus Christ. I pray, again, if there's just one here tonight that needs to do that, that they would come in just a moment when we stand and sing, and we could take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Speak to our hearts as Christians. Help us to say like Paul, I die daily so that You can live through me. Just bless this time of invitation. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.